Hi, I'm Sara Loati, and I'm back with another destination for Off the Beaten Track, a segment in which I take you on a little adventure to the strangest, most peculiar corners of the world. We're going to visit places that don't often grace the covers of travel brochures, for reasons which you will soon find out. Today's trip takes place in the Sultanate of Oman, which just so happens to be my home. So I filled up my tank, opened up Google Maps, and set out to Behla. As you probably already know, Behla is a sleepy town that has garnered a notorious reputation for being the birthplace of black magic. And because I only ever want you to have the best listening experience, I took it upon myself to investigate these ghostly allegations. This is an account of all that ensued. But before I get to that, let's give this place some context, shall we? Behla was drab and brown, was exploding in color. It was a lively and welcoming oasis, as amicable as its people. It was eerily quiet, haunted by ghosts and graveyards, or so they say. I imagine it carried the same paradoxical essence back in the 12th century, when it was a sprawling hub of frankincense trade. Merchants and potters used to line the streets, selling herds of cattle under the golden light of the sun. But when night fell, Behla emanated a different kind of enchantment, one that made its people retire to their homes as soon as dusk descended, leaving the streets empty and barren. This unsettling aura manifested into something a lot more sinister, so much so that the town required tangible protection in the form of a wall that stretches on for 12 kilometers, encircling Behla. Much like the place in which it was built, the origins of this wall are shrouded in mystery. Its ancient and crumbling structure beckoned to me and left me wondering, who built this defensive wall? What were they trying to keep out? Or perhaps, what were they trying to keep in? Nobody quite knows the answers to these questions, but there have been many speculations as to why the wall was erected. Most of these theories are grounded in folklore and make for excellent campfire stories. It's now my turn to pass them on to you. Once upon a time, a kingdom possessing a cornucopia of wealth and power wanted even more wealth and power, because greed is a fundamental human element, even thousands of years ago. This kingdom pinpointed Behla as an easy target for exploitation and started to demand a substantial sum in the form of monthly payments from its humble population. This fee was paid to keep Behla away from the threat of military occupation. But the people of Behla fell deeper and deeper into the burrows of poverty because of it. And what a sad sight this was for two sisters who loved their hometown with a fiery intensity. Qaitha and Meitha were the saviors that Behla needed, but their strategy to save their home was somewhat questionable. These two women were not your average siblings. They had long-held ties with the jinn that resided past the mountainous terrains of Behla and were well-versed in matters of witchcraft and the occult. Qaitha and Meitha thus sought out the help of these jinn, and legend says that aid was provided in the form of a wall that was built in one single night. Yet none of the clanging or banging that comes from usual construction projects could be heard by the residents of Behla when this wall was erected. Instead, the edifice with its sentry towers and seven entry points appeared one day as though from thin air. It was just like magic. Black magic. Suffice it to say that Behla's opponents backed away and never attempted another invasion of its kind. Of course, the wall's not the only thing in Behla that's steeped in ominous rumors of a haunting past. The fort looms tall and proud against the fraught backdrop of Behla's rugged landscape. Its mud brick walls are weathered with time, with the oldest building being traced all the way back to the 13th century. Like the Wall of Behla, there are no historical records pointing to who exactly built this fort, which is no small feat considering its imposing presence. As I meandered through its labyrinthine passageways, I overheard a tour guide talking in hushed tones about the strange inscriptions on the walls, which were a means of recording the deaths of Behla's citizens. As I set out to find them, I realized that the fort, although open to the public since 2012, was strangely devoid of historical accounts and touristic information. Questions of why this was gnawed at my brain, but it wasn't long until I found the answer to my persistent question. Legend says that 1,400 years ago, the tight-knit fabric of Behla's community began to come apart at the seams, as rumors of witchcraft and servitude to the devil surfaced. No one was to be trusted. The djinn could be right here with you, wearing the face of someone you love, and you would be none the wiser. Everyone was guilty until proven innocent. Whoever was forming these ties with the creatures of the night was held responsible for the increasing number of death and destruction. Rumors of mangled corpses at the edge of the desert and animals left to rot after being eaten alive circulated around Behla. Of children vanishing into nothingness, never to be seen again. When the culprit was finally found, the villagers of Behla ensured that his fate was even worse than those he had mutilated or killed. The man was said to have been stoned to death, and a fortress built over his grave to prevent his followers from enshrining his corpse. Yes, this fortress is supposedly the very same citadel we have come to know as Behla Fort. But it's not only this tale that lingers on today. It's told that the man still haunts the darkest tunnels of the fort, looking for someone he could pass his knowledge of the occult onto. Which brings me back to the renovation of Behla Fort. The fort was granted the title of a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1987, but its restoration took close to 25 years. This is because archaeologists working in the fort often reported strange noises and sightings. Haunted wails and missing tools were the least of their concerns, as they often returned to their dig sites only to find that they had gone back to their original, untouched states prior to the excavation. Hundreds of workers are said to have quit their posts because of these occurrences. I can't attest to the truthfulness of these stories, but I can tell you that I was pretty spooked. Did I satiate your appetite for terror yet? I sure hope not, because the story of Behla hasn't quite met its end. But I'll leave the best for last. I managed to explore some forgotten ruins at the very edge of Behla. I won't tell you about them until next time, though. Stay tuned.